Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. I shouldn't have done it. I knew at the time that I shouldn't do it, that it was awful, and that it would take this cruel, murderous, and inhumane act and lodge it inside me forever. Yet even though I knew I shouldn't do it, I clicked on the link, and in 13 seconds, I watched the murder of a kind and gentle man. A man, some say, was hopelessly naive, thinking he could somehow bring peace to the war-torn Iraq. Instead, Nick Berg was captured by ISIS, and in front of cheap video cameras broadcasting to the world, Nick was beheaded. Why did I look? Morbid fascination? Rage? A need to somehow witness and document the ISIS murderers on behalf of poor Nick Berg? I hope it's this last reason, the need to have him remembered and never forgotten, although I fear it's probably all of those reasons. Morbid curiosity, rage, and the desire to tell Nick's story that he not be forgotten. He sat cross-legged on the ground in an orange jumpsuit. He seemed calm. He'd surely been beaten before. Surely he'd be beaten again, this time on film for propaganda purposes. His face shows surprise, when suddenly, instead of beating him, they began to sever his head from his body and murdered him by hand. His last moments on this earth, moments of indescribable fear and pain. Thankfully, he could not see how they would take his head and parade around with it in mockery. Why do I tell this horrible story? I tell it because it is a reminder of the true nature of our world, the true nature of our blank and murderous hearts when they are not guided and inflamed by love and compassion. Of course, it is not the whole story of the human race. Far from it. For there are in every corner of the world, in every second and every moment of every day, there are acts of mercy, tolerance, and love. People who risk their lives to save the lives of others. But because of our natural tendency to close our eyes, to shut our ears, and pretend that the horrors we visit upon one another are not real but aberrations, we let the horror go on. And on. And on. Today's gospel lesson is the story of another good man who lived his life entirely for others, so filled with the Spirit of God that he couldn't let the fear of the powerful stop him from criticizing the leaders of his government for immorality. And so John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, and so John was arrested, jailed, and tortured. And when one evening the guards came for him, he thought it was for another beating. But it was not a beating. It was the end of his life. As a guard, a fellow Jew in the employment of the despicable Herod and his equally despicable sister-in-law Herodias, beheaded that good man, John. The Herod dynasty was one of the most cruel and murderous dynasties of all the ancient world. And in this case, they go far to prove that they are also among the most gruesome, as they bring the head of John on a platter as a gift to Herodias at a banquet, at a party. The cruel beheading of John, a man whom Jesus loved, who was likely Jesus' own teacher, must have come as a hammer blow to John's disciples. And there was no hiding for them. They knew that they were possibly the next to die at the hands of Herod and his sister-in-law. Today, we live in a world where, unlike the baptizer's disciples, we can hide as we daily turn away from the truth of what happens to the innocents like John. We live in a world that not only disregards the suffering of children, but promotes it and justifies it with passages lifted from the Bible. The same passages once used to justify the evils of human slavery. Passages used by bigots to make the Bible and our faith in Jesus Christ complicit in the evils of our world. Passages used to laugh at justice and place those of us who watch and do nothing in moral peril. We live in a world and a country that, in contradiction to U.S. laws, treaty obligations, and the United States Constitution, actually makes it official U.S. policy to kidnap children from their parents. We live in a world and a country in which the Attorney General, the head of the Justice Department, the highest law enforcement office in this land, the office that is charged with faithfully executing the laws, instead justifies ripping children, toddlers, and infants from their mother's arms. We live in the world of Herod and Herodias and the beheading of God's children. We live in the world of John the Baptist. But though we must not take one word away from this indictment, we must also remember that this is not the last story. This is God's world, the world that Jesus loved and died for. This is God's world that is not afraid of this world's cruelty, but constantly offers even to the purveyors of cruelty the healing of forgiveness. And we here at St. Paul's are called by God, as John was, to witness to the world of the death of the innocent, but also to hope that death in service to God is never in vain. For in the midst of the dungeons of this world, there is another truth, that even there, in the darkest of darkness, we are not alone. We are not forgotten, for we carry within our hearts love even for the cruel agents of hate. And this love cannot be defeated, even by those who fear it the most. I leave you with this quote from the Gospel according to Mr. Rogers. His professor told him, "You know, Fred, there's one thing evil can't stand, and that is forgiveness." Let us therefore stand as prophetic witnesses on behalf of all those who suffer at the hands of the powerful. But let us also be agents of God's forgiveness to all who repent and choose to amend their ways. In this way, in this love, you and I, we together, can change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.